We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the NAF Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I am joined today, rejoined by my co-host, Drew Johnson. We've got a little bit of role reversal today. For the past couple of months, it's been like Dalton's Truck Chronicles because I try to – my home studio isn't set up yet, as you guys can tell, but it's a work in progress. And in the meantime, if I record late at nights, I don't want to disturb my wife because, you know, from where I record in the house is very close to the bedroom. And so I just say, you know what, I'm just going to go outside and do it from the vehicle. So that's why that happens. I'm not homeless, I promise. But you know, today is role reversal, where DJ is doing that. So DJ, good to have you. We're going to start out by talking about something that we haven't formally come on here and talked about with each other. And that is Luka's 73 point outburst in Atlanta over the weekend on Friday night. Just an incredible performance all around. He almost had a 70-point triple-double, 73 points, shot 25 of 33 from the field. And he had 10 rebounds and 7 assists. And, you know, we were talking about before we came on here, he did that on the 4-year anniversary of when Kobe passed away. Just an incredible coincidence. Like, I don't know if that was extra motivation for him going into it, or what, but he did talk about it afterwards about how special it was and how he felt special to be mentioned in the same breath as some of these guys that have had these outrageous scoring nights in the NBA. 73 points, that's tied for fourth all time ever in an NBA game. And look, he could have, in my opinion, he could have easily passed Kobe's 81 if he hadn't been. I kind of got the feeling that he was kind of hunting for that 70-point triple-double. He was kind of pressing for it a little bit, you know, in the last 5 minutes or so of that fourth quarter when, you know, if he would have just kept going with what he knew, which was getting to the rim every single time and hitting threes and all that, I think he could have easily passed it, but he didn't. And it was a career high, a Mavs franchise high, and again, tied for the fourth highest in league history. What were your initial thoughts watching Luka just dominate the way he did? And in Atlanta, of all places, the team that traded him in the 2018 NBA draft. It was incredible. But what'd you think about it?
You know, it's funny. Life can be so poetic. It happens on the anniversary of the great Kobe Bryant's death. And it happens in Atlanta, the city that traded him to Dallas. Like, it doesn't get much more storybook than that. I can see why people say, you know, everything's scripted or whatever, because honestly, sometimes it seems that way. But, you know, the game itself, I mean, I agree with you. I think he could have gone for probably 90 at least if he would have just been more selfish. But we all know that ain't Luka. I just wish that his teammates would have been able to give him that 70-point triple-double, but you know, it is what it is. It's still one of the greatest all-time performances in NBA history. It's the greatest single-game performance by a Maverick. I mean, if anyone had any doubts, I don't know why you would at this point, but if anyone had any doubts, I think we can pretty easily dispel them.
No, and I mean, it's not just the 73-point game. It's, you know, he played 45 of the 48 minutes in that game. Then on the second night of a back-to-back against the Sacramento Kings, he played 46 minutes. And the Mavs got down big. They almost pulled off a huge comeback in the fourth quarter, but they came up just a little bit short, 120 to 115. But Luka, on the second night of a back-to-back, after putting up nearly a 70-point triple-double, had 28 points, 10 rebounds, and 17 assists in that game. So played 91 minutes in a back-to-back, put up those kind of numbers, became the first player ever in NBA history to average a 50-point triple-double over a two-game span. And then on Monday night, as we saw in the most recent performance, he comes back again, third game in four nights, and puts up 45 points, 9 rebounds, 15 assists, 2 steals, shoots 52% from the field, and hits 3 of 8 threes. Like, the guy is just on a historic tear right now. Like, this is something I feel like I know scoring is high around the league right now. You know, just in general, there's been an uptick in guys having big scoring nights, but just in general, what Luka's doing across the board, not just with his scoring, but with his assists and his points, I mean, his rebounds, everything all together, you know, upping his intensity on the defensive end of the floor. We are seeing an evolution in Luka right now. Like, this is like him stepping into his prime years because he's about to turn 25. He turns 25 on February 28th, so he's got one more month. And typically when you turn 25, from 25 to your early 30s is typically considered your prime years. And so, you know, the way he has taken this next step here recently, you kind of figure like, this is it. This is what prime Luka looks like. And, you know, obviously you'd like to see him not have to strain himself with playing such big minutes. But, you know, I don't really know what Jason Kidd can do differently, right? And then look, we've had our gripes with Kidd and some of the decisions he's made this year. Rotation. Right in that game, Luka and Tim Hardaway Jr. were yelling at Kidd because he didn't call a time. And I guess we'll take a little sidebar here to tell about this, but the Mavs were up 127 to 124 against the I don't even remember who they played now. My mind just went blank. They played This is embarrassing. Who did it? The Orlando Magic. See, this is how I need a break. We need to take a break and take a vacation for a little bit. We can't because the trade deadline is in 9 days. So, anyway, I knew this. But anyway, the Orlando Magic, they were up on the Magic 127-124 with 17 seconds remaining. And they inbounded the ball to Tim Hardaway Jr. He got doubled. He got trapped. And after it took like 4 or 5 seconds before he got called for a traveling violation. And, you know, they were thinking like, okay, you have 2 timeouts with 17 seconds left. Why did you not call a timeout? And, yeah, you know, Hardaway and Luka were both like yelling at Kidd on the sideline. And, you know, Hardaway was asked about it afterwards and he played it off and not a big deal. And everybody was like, oh man, like, come on, Kidd. You gotta do better than that. And there were some tense moments in the final seconds because the Mavs, they were up by 3. Paolo Banchero hit 1 free throw, missed the second on purpose with 3 seconds left. And then Franz Wagner had a desperation heave at the very end of the game that could have won it, and it hit off the right side of the rim. So if that shot goes in, the heat on Jason Kidd's seat automatically gets hotter if that goes in. So they win. You don't have to worry about it. But anyway, so we've had our gripes with Kidd, but I just don't know what else he's supposed to do with Luka's minutes specifically in this particular situation with as many injuries as the Mavs have had, because Dante Exum's out again. Derrick Jones Jr. sprained his wrist in that Hawks game. He's been out the past two games. Kyrie Irving missed his fourth consecutive game with a thumb sprain. So, I mean, I don't know what else they can do because Luke, they have to have Luke on the court to stay attached with his many injuries. So, I mean, am I right in that? Is there anything else as a coach you can do? If your main goal is to win, you have to have Luke on the court with his how shorthanded you are right now.
I was about to say, I mean, if you want to win ball games, you got to have your best player on the floor, especially whenever you're missing so many pieces. I mean, yeah, it could be an opportunity for someone else to stand up or step up rather, but that's not always going to win you games. And in most cases, it's not going to. So, I mean, you're putting people in situations that they aren't usually put in very often. So, you know, that's not really a recipe for success. Like, I know we all hate the fact that Luke is having to play all these minutes, but it's either that or lose. I mean, that's the point that we're at right now with the injuries and the lack of depth and everything that we're going through right now.
Yeah. And I mean, look, to I guess one way to kind of stifle the minute issue for Luka is to add more talent to the roster from what is currently there, or more consistent talent at least. Because last night, you know, it was one of those situations where the Mavs got some pretty good contributions. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr., who was starting, went for 36 points, had 8 rebounds, shot 11 of 17 overall. Derek Lively, he was great, 20 points, 11 rebounds. And then you had Jaden Hardy off the bench in 27 minutes, scoring 20 points and shooting 8 of 9 overall, 4 of 5 from 3. Now, 18 of those points came in the first half. He disappeared in the second half, but still – you know, when the Mavs were down by 16, Hardy was one of the main guys keeping them attached. So he played a huge role in the Mavs staying attached and, you know, not letting it get too far away from them. And then they made that second half surge. So I look at that and I say, okay, Tim Hardaway Jr.'s he had a pretty good game. Hardy had a pretty good game. Maybe that helps their trade value, you know, as we get closer to the deadline here, because we've got 9 days to go until we get there. And I've got a list here that I want to just read out to you, DJ. Let me pull it up here. I've got a list of small forwards / power forwards, and then I've got a list of centers, you know, guys that can potentially help the Mavs out. So here we go. All right, small forwards and power forwards. We've got Jeremy Grant. We've got Kyle Kuzma, Dorian Finney-Smith, PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, controversial. We'll talk about that a little bit. Bojan Bogdanović, old but good.
He's good.
Draymond Green, who, you know, as good as he's been since coming back from his suspension, I don't know if he's gettable now or not.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins, who might be, you know, damaged goods, but, you know, he'd be an upgrade. Jonathan Kuminga, I'm going to cross that name out. I don't think they're trading.
No way. There's no way we would ever get him. No way.
As good as he's been lately, I think that's out.
Yeah, no way.
And then just for, you know what, and giggles, LeBron James. Because the Lakers, over halfway through the season, they're still mid. They're a 500 basketball team, and, you know, LeBron has been amazing, and he's not getting any younger. So
did they lose to the Rockets last night?
They did. They got destroyed.
Oh, my God. Imagine getting beat by an AAU team. I mean, that's pretty much what that's like. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one reason why I think a lot of people think if the Mavs just get healthy, you know, maybe that can, you know, catapult them into avoiding the play-in tournament. And I think there might be something to that, but I don't know if they would be a title contender if healthy. They still got to make a couple moves to take that next step. But, man, as mediocre as the play-in tournament teams are below the Mavs in the standings right now, I'm not really worried about the Mavs going that far down in the standings unless something happens and Luka gets hurt. So yeah, look, Jeremy Grant, he's probably out of the Mavs price range. There's been reports that the Blazers aren't really looking to trade him anyway, at least not right now. Kyle Kuzma, the reports are that the Wizards are seeking at least 2 first-round picks or the equivalent of 2 first-round picks. So I guess technically, I mean, would Josh Green and Omax Prosper be considered the equivalent of 2 first-round picks?
Because, well, another question that I would have is, when are the picks? Because, like, if you trade something far enough down the line, then maybe it's worth it.
That's the problem, because the Mavs, they traded that 2029 first-round pick to the Brooklyn Nets for Kyrie Irving. So the only pick they can really trade right now is the 2027 first-round pick. And to me, if I was another team taking trade offers, I would view that as having a little bit extra value, because you don't know what's going to be happening with, you know, Luka's free agency, potential free agency in 2026. So if you're an opposing GM and you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, well, say the Mavs don't get better and become a title contender between now and 2026, maybe Luka enters free agency and considers his options. And if he does leave Dallas, then all of a sudden that 2027 pick is super valuable.
Yep. So, depending on the draft class, but yeah, I mean,
I feel like that pick would have a little bit more value than what.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
What most picks being offered at this particular trade deadline would hold, because there's a lot of teams offering, you know, late first round picks that in this coming draft that I don't think is as good as what we saw last year.
No, it's not. So, I mean,
so it just depends on who the Mavs think is a needle mover. And, you know, I don't know if trading that 2027 first round pick is worth getting a guy like a Jeremy Grant or a Kyle Kuzma. Definitely not Dorian Finney-Smith, because, I mean, you had to trade a pick along with him to get Kyrie. Yeah. Now, that being said, and I'm going to go through my center list now too, you know, with the Washington Wizards, Daniel Gafford, Nick Claxton with the Nets, also with the Nets, Dayron Sharp, with the Charlotte Hornets, Nick Richards. Yeah. Clint Capella with the Hawks, who, you know, the Mavs have been linked to in the past. Wendell Carter Jr., we saw him last night against the Mavs, and he knocked the crap out of Derek Lively and gave him a bloody nose and then apologized for it on social media afterwards. So we don't hold it against you Wendell Carter. Nikola Vucevic with the Bulls, who might be blowing things up. And just as one reclamation project here, I put James Wiseman. Now, I'm not really too excited about that option, but, you know, just looking at the Pistons and how Durin has played for them, you know, I feel like they would probably sell off James Wiseman pretty cheap, and he might be an interesting reclamation project to back up Derek Lively in Dallas. So looking at all these options I've named off, maybe you can trade that 2027 pick if you're getting a good enough package deal, like with the Wizards. Can you get Kyle Kuzma and Daniel Gafford? You know, with the Hornets, can you get PJ Washington and Nick Richards? You know, stuff like that. Dorian Finney-Smith and Nick Claxton from the Nets. And, hey, with the Nets, and I threw this idea out on DallasBasketball.com the other day, you know, I pointed out one of the biggest reasons the Mavs had that 2022 Western Conference Finals run was, yes, they had, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock, you know, manning down or anchoring the defense, even though we didn't have a center then. But you also had the three-headed guard monster of Luka and Jalen Brunson starting, and then you had Spencer Dinwiddie coming off the bench, who is more than capable of getting his own shot and also distributing the ball as well. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, Dinwiddie, he's not having a good season in Brooklyn. His best years of his career, or his best stint of his career by far, has been in Dallas when he's playing next to Doncic. So, I mean, maybe you could work something out where you take Dinwiddie from Brooklyn, who, you know, they might not want him anymore, and maybe you get, you know, a package deal, something like Dinwiddie, Finney-Smith, and Claxton, or, you know, something like that, where you're bringing in an influx of multiple players, and then you have a guard trio of Luka, Kyrie, Dinwiddie, and then you also add a defensive-minded wing that can hit threes, and you have a decent center as well. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking at. Now, I know there's several other scenarios we could throw out there, but I just think, in my opinion, if the Mavs are going to make a move now in these next 9 days, a needle-moving kind of trade, they're going to have to trade that 2027 first-round pick, and I just think unless they get, you know, as much bang for their buck as possible, I would almost rather just wait until the offseason and get healthy and see what you have with this current group the rest of the year. Because if I'm Nico Harrison, I am not trading that pick unless it is well worth it right now.
Mm-hmm. No, it's got to make you better immediately, I think. And I think that Brooklyn scenario is pretty intriguing just because of the pieces that you bring in. But I'm going to tell you what, the Charlotte scenario is pretty interesting because not only do you have the PJ Washington, Nick Richards, but what about Miles Bridges? I know people are not high on him because of his actions, and I get it. He's probably not a very good human being, but damn it, he can play some fucking basketball.
I mean, that's the thing, because the optics of it all would be horrible. Like my guy Allen, he's the head of Mavs PR. Like, I would feel so bad for Allen having to deal with that PR storm if the Mavs ended up with Miles Bridges, because I mean, he's currently on probation for a domestic violence issue.
Yeah.
That happened in 2022, I believe. I don't think it was last year. I think it was 2022. Anyway,
it was a couple years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you know, that kind of messed up him signing a new contract. He had to take the qualifying offer from the Hornets. So now he is going to be an unrestricted free agent this upcoming summer. And the thing that's interesting with Bridges, because I mean, his averages are, let's look up Miles Bridges stats right here. I looked them up a while ago because, you know, the Mavs, they're viewed as one of the top betting favorites to land Miles Bridges in a trade. I posted that on DallasBasketball.com earlier. So, you know, for a guy that's averaging 21 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, shooting 46% from the field and 35% from three, you know, a very versatile forward, normally the Mavs, in my, under normal circumstances, this is a guy the Mavs would not have a chance to trade for, given their given their trade assets. But like you said, because of the legal issues, because of the, you know, the optics of it all, because he's on an expiring qualifying offer, and any team that trades for him, well, unless he got traded to a team with cap space, you know, the Mavs could trade for him and they wouldn't have his bird rights. So, you know, he's not going to be able to get the deal that he wants if he goes to Dallas. But, you know, this might be one of those situations where when you push aside everything else on the outside, it's like, okay, this is a guy that you, that's an elite basketball talent, and you can get him for the, on the cheap end, and you have no long-term commitments to him. So, you know, you could bring him in on the cheap, see if he, you know, helps your team out the way you think he probably could. And if it just doesn't work, if he is, you know, if things don't work out, you have no commitment to him long-term, you know, see you later, good luck wherever else you go. So that might be the situation the Mavs are in here, because you don't want to sell the farm unless it's something that moves the needle. And, you know, looking at all the other candidates that the Mavs could trade for, that seems to be the highest talent for the cheapest cost, you know, for what they could get. So,
By far. And, like, if you just look at him as a basketball player, like, I know we can't do that, but if you just look at him as the basketball talent that he is tremendous. I mean, him and LaMelo Ball, they were one of the most entertaining backcourts to watch in all of the NBA before his episode. I mean, he was a promising young talent before this episode. And, you know, if he comes in and is a shithead, then you can get rid of him.
Exactly.
But if he comes in and helps you, if he comes in and helps you, you look like a freaking genius. And I think he helps us. I think he 100% would help us on the floor. And honestly, you know, outside of that, you know, really glaring episode. Now, I'm not trying to discount it. That's very serious.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. It was awful.
It's very serious. It's very bad. But does he negatively impact your locker room in any way? I've never heard of anything that Miles Bridges has ever done to negatively impact a locker room. I mean, he comes from one of the greatest college basketball coaches ever, as far as coaching culture is concerned, and Tom Izzo. I mean, the guy has been coached by great coaches. He understands what a standard is. He understands what a culture is. Maybe he deserves a second chance.
It's a tough thing to balance, and I'd hate to be in Nico's shoes, because, like I said, it's one of those moves that you can make, and if it works, everybody says, "Oh, well, great job! You know, you took a low buy on a high talent. It worked out. Good for you. He hasn't caused any extra issues." But then, you know, on the flip side, if you do it and then say another incident happens, then all of a sudden, you know, that's something that can really, you know, knock you down the totem pole as far as being respected and stuff like that. So, you know, more power to Nico Harrison. It's not a position I would want to be in, but, you know, like I said, the assets that the Mavs currently have, I just feel like, you know, they're not really in a position to be worrying about the optics of things like that. You know, as far as just like adding talent, because right now the main objective should be making this team a title contender and making them as good as possible to hope you convince Luka to sign his next contract extension and not enter unrestricted free agency. So, so that's where I'm at on that. Another center that I didn't mention on here, but we've talked about before, is Andre Drummond, a very affordable backup center, in my opinion, a rebounding monster, not the best defensively, but, you know, he gobbles up rebounds and helps you in that way. I think he would benefit from playing behind Lively in Dallas. And then, you know, Alex Caruso, he's not a small forward. He's more of a guard, but, you know, I think he would be a guy that would help the Mavs too. So a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different rumors flying around there, speculation, this and that and the other. So we'll see how it goes these next 9 days, but it should be interesting. As you all know, or maybe some of you don't know, but the Mavs have made a trade deadline trade in the last 7 years. So the chances are something is going to happen here, but we'll see how it goes. Guys, appreciate y'all joining us. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube, and we will see you next time. Y'all have a great one.
Thanks, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.